the polls show that, what, 70-some percent or close to 80% of the people in this country think that America is on the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, that's hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that that awareness will continue.
Well, time is very short. I do not believe that we have a lot of time to turn this thing around. Jesus is coming soon, and I think that the Holy Spirit has been beckoning this country, starting with God's own house, for a good 40 years, to turn and repent and to prepare the way of the Lord. There's been total resistance from pulpit to pew, and so what we do, we must do quickly. And I am so grateful for the time and the effort that you have put forth. You've given a gift to our country, to the body of Christ, through your book, Daryl, Divine Love, Divine Intolerance. And I want to make sure, friends, that you get a copy of this book. Get one for your pastor. Get one for your youth leader. Read it yourself. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Your gift of $24 to Save America Ministries will put this wonderful book in your hands, a life-giving book.
Charles, can I give a... They can also get the book on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Right. Yeah, I think they know that.
And there's a telephone number, too, they can call to order it direct.
Yeah. All right. Well, friends, it has been great to be with you here today on Viewpoint. And a big thank you to Daryl Arends for joining us from Arizona. And those of you out there in Connecticut and Massachusetts, make sure that you give a call to John Langevin, 413-593-3965, for the breakfast reservation. This will be your last opportunity, your last notice on that. Again, the phone number, 413-593-3965. God bless you. Be a blessing and consider becoming a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
Thank you very much, Sean.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman. We're going to be talking about what's happening financially, what's happening as far as Greece is concerned, Europe, England, China, here in the United States, as we see the whole economic structure of the Western world begin to crumble. And certainly they've come up with a wonderful solution over there for Greece. They're not going to call the default Greek bonds a default. They're going to have another name for it, because if they call it a default, then of course they can call in all the derivative contracts. But what they're going to do, they're going to call it a public corporation involvement, something like that. But what it really involves is that the banks who have lent money to Greece are going to have to take a 50% loss in their investment, and then Greece is going to have to make dramatic cuts in everything, all the social welfare benefits, the pension benefits. People are not going to be able to retire at 50. They're going to have to work to 65 or And basically, of course, they're not going to get the free health care and all the other free and wonderful benefits. And, of course, the whole Greek economy is collapsing, and people are looking at Sydney, no future at all. At least 10 years, I've got chronic depression, if not longer. But you see, they've been living so well for so long on borrowed money with massive debt. So like here in the United States, where 43 cents out of every dollar the federal government spends is borrowed money. And we get Social Security, and we get Medicare, and we have unemployment benefits, and we have all sorts of wonderful things. And not only that, but our government can give away money to dictators in other countries to keep them going. And 43 cents out of every dollar the American government spends is on borrowed. We have to borrow. How long can you, keep doing that? Well, as long as you can keep printing money until the whole financial system collapses. With us, Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. Bob, bring us up to date on what's really going on.
Well, as you know, America has never seen a dictator that didn't like. And you're right about propping up dictators of one form or another. When it suits their fancy, and then eliminating them. We saw that recently with several heads of state who used to be our friends, and we also saw it in years past. But anyway, most people don't know it yet, but there is going to be a referendum in Greece, and for the approval of the deal that is not completed, that has been essentially offered to the Greek government. And the surveyors in Greece figure about 60% of the people will reject the deal. I think it'll be between 65 and 70%. And then they're back to square one. Which means all they can do is renege on the debt, go by default, go back to the drachma, and then in turn go on their own outside of the Eurozone. And whether they'll stay in the European Union remains to be seen.
But that's the last thing the globalists want. They'll do everything they can to avoid it. And yet what Greece ought to do is just default on their debt, drop out, have their own currency, and be an independent country again. Well, it's going to be very interesting. When's that vote going to be coming up, Bob?
They didn't say in the release. I would think it would take...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for are people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called immune support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Give them very long to get things straightened out. Do you think there's anything that they can do other than perhaps Greece just going ahead and defaulting and going out its own way that will solve the problem? And if Greece does default, what about the derivative contracts? What about the insurance policies that our major banks, J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America, have written to guarantee those loans? We've got something, I don't know how many trillions of dollars in derivatives we have out there, but we've guaranteed that Greece will not default. And if they do, we will go ahead and make up the difference, but we don't have any money. Our banks don't have any money. What they've done then is simply switched liability from the banks, and we're talking about Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, from their investment portion to the part that's covered by the FDIC, so long that it's no longer the bank's responsibility, it's the responsibility of the American people. Because after all, the FDIC guarantees the banks. The FDIC doesn't have any money. They're dependent upon the Treasury. The Treasury doesn't have any money. They're just dependent upon the American people. And how could the banks do that when So the FDIC was never compensated for the possibility that this could happen? In other words, the banks, you can't just take a liability that you have that was never, you never paid for, and transfer it to the American people. Or is it possible that the banks really control our government? They can do whatever they want to, irrespective of law or tradition or what's right and wrong. As long as they can get the liability off their books and put it on to our financial structure, and that would simply play a large part in, I mean, we're talking about tens of trillions. I think they have something like $154 trillion, not billion, but $1 trillion in derivatives. And now they would all be the responsibility of the American people. There's only $60 trillion in the whole world. How will this thing play out?
In the bankruptcy of the entire world. There's no other way it can turn out.
Right. And see, the average individual doesn't understand that these people are not stupid. They know what they're doing. They want to bring down the world financial structure. Why would any logical person want to do that? Because they want a global government. They've got to destroy the existing social structure, but they already have one in the wings ready to install, and that is a one-world dictatorship under the new coming one-world ruler. But go right ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I think that's a capitalization, and you see all of the machinations of passing debt onto the people. We saw it just recently with the Dexia Bank in Europe, which was funded by the governments of Belgium and France. And it was a medium-sized bank. Some people would think it to be larger than that. And they went under. So what those two governments did is that they took all the good assets and they left them in Dexia. And they took all the bad assets and moved them over to another bank or a holding company, and the governments are responsible for those losses. The governments are the people. And so what is happening is that there is an assumption of debt by the people. They're taking the bank's mistakes, incompetences, whatever you want to put a tag on it, and transferring it to the public. And that's going to happen in the United States. I think Bank of America is going to be the first bank nationalized. They'll do the same thing. And they'll do it with many other banks, and some of them will be merged into stronger banks, and that'll be the way it'll play out. And then you'll end up with one nationalized bank. This is the same thing that I wrote about over 8 years ago when people were talking about the problems within the real estate sector. And I said, what they're after here is by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, and FHA owning by proxy millions of homes that have been foreclosed on. It's not they who are really taking them over. It's the American people. And what they're trying to do is nationalize all housing. And all of this fits in with the kind of government that they want in place. We call it world government, but it's really corporatist fascism is what it is. And it's the same thing they tried to finance during the 1930s in the United States, and they also financed Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. It's the same cast of characters we're looking at today, only most of the originators are dead or are dying off. But it's the same old gang that has been doing this for centuries. You know, you get new people involved in this banking financial hierarchy, and then you get others who the families fade away. But it's basically the same people doing the same thing. And so that's what we're faced with.
Well, it's sort of reminiscent of a book called Looking Backwards, which was written, I believe, in 1882 by a man named Edward Bellamy. And he says this fellow falls asleep and he wakes up in the year 2000 and what the world was at that time. And basically, of course, one of the things he talked about was that, you know, in 1882, he said, you know, a credit card, now he's writing in 1882, he says, you know, the credit card will certainly be as good in Europe as gold once was. A credit card will be as good as gold once was. And they talk about how eventually everything would own by one giant corporation. They knew exactly what was going to happen. Of course, they used that wonderful poem written certainly by Tennyson, you know, for I dipped into the future, far as any eye could see, saw a vision of the world and all the wonder there would be, heard the heavens filled with shouting, the rain to ghastly dew of the nation's airy navies, grappling in the central blue, till the war drums throbbed no longer and the battle flags were furled in the Parliament of Man, the Federation of the World. And that's what it was all about, certainly when Tennyson wrote his poem in 1842. That's what it was all about, certainly when Bellamy wrote Looking Backwards in 1882. And that's what it's all about today. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, it's hard to top that one. I hadn't heard about that one before. But if you look back in history, there is enough literature, things that have happened and things that will happen, that you can get a bead on what's going on today. And it's, to me, it's spectacular that writers don't have a grasp of that because they don't understand history. It's really incredible. And they miss the whole point. You can talk about economics and finance, social, political issues historically, and that's all well and good. But you have to have a perspective that goes back over 1,000 years to really understand what these people are up to. This is nothing new. And people who write about this or talk about it, they've got to understand those things in order to understand what these people are all about and how to defeat them. You know, we talk about the financial system coming unglued. Well, that's fine. But no one, with the minor exception, has ever gone after the kingpins. The only time I think that we can look toward that is something like 1789 in France. But other than that, most of these people have gotten away with it. And they'll continue to get away with it unless people understand what they're up to.
Sure, and these people create the wars. They created the First World War. They created the Second World War, and they're preparing us for a Third World War. They got us into a no-win war in Korea. They got us into a no-win war in Vietnam. They got us into a no-win war in Afghanistan. They know exactly what they're doing, and the average American has no idea what's going on. He may be a little concerned because we have us only 90,000 troops, 46,000 NATO troops, 100,000 contractors, and 300,000 Afghan troops over there in Afghanistan under American command, all fighting all 50 members of Al-Qaeda, and a few of them may feel a little as if maybe there's something wrong with the scenario, but after all, we don't want to be much more concerned about the basketball league because NBA has not started games yet, and they may very well delay the season even further, and what a terrible tragedy that would be. And we have, certainly we've spent $1 trillion over there in Afghanistan in a war we never should have gone into. We had to after 9/11 because Afghans attacked us. No, they were Saudi Arabians. 15 of the 19 attackers were Saudi Arabians. Saudi Osama bin Laden's family was Saudi Arabian. Saudi Arabia has been financing Al-Qaeda since its inception. Why didn't we go to war with Saudi Arabia? Because it's a phony war, ladies and gentlemen. Do you really think we need 550,000 troops to fight 50 members of Al-Qaeda? If you doubt what I'm saying, go up on the Internet, just type in on your search engine, Leon Panetta, 50 members of Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, or General James Jones, 50 members of Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, or even Steve Croft, or Scott Pelley, 50 members of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. That's all that's there. Well, Bob, certainly, as far as the American economy is concerned, I think there are a lot of Americans who certainly are concerned, but I don't think that they, you know, we're told all the time, but the...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
After that, but basically, of course, you cannot keep spending money you don't have. This is what Greece has been doing, and certainly when Greece now has been required to cut back on its expenditures, and the Greek people don't want to. In fact, there are demonstrations over in Greece all the time. I mean, wouldn't you be furious if you'd been promised you could retire at 50 and now they want you to work until you're 65? Wouldn't you be furious if you'd always had a comfortable government job and they started laying off government employees? Wouldn't you be furious when you've got free health care and suddenly, why, of course, there's no longer any free health care and all these other wonderful socialist benefits? And wouldn't you be concerned when the whole economic structure of Greece is beginning to collapse because basically they have built upon small businesses over there. And of course, certainly the tourists are not coming. The people are losing their jobs. They're unable to shop. And my understanding is that the whole economy over there in Greece is beginning to shut down. And already, of course, it's worse in Greece than the other countries. But isn't this a problem all over Europe and England as well?
Yes, it is. And Greece just happens to be the front runner in the race to go downhill, I guess you'd call it. And most of the people just don't get it. I certainly wish that they did, but they don't. Somebody's got to pay for all that. And they don't know whom. They just don't want to have to pay themselves. It's not that they've done anything wrong. The government said, well, you can have this, that, and the other thing. It's the politicians and the bankers who are at fault. But the people, as usual, have to pay for it. And so that's the way things have gone, and that's the way things will go in the future. And that's what Greece is headed, probably toward anarchy. And the bankers, of course, they want to swoop in and get everything for collateral and take everything that is available for them to own because of this debt. But I think the time for that has passed. I saw a piece today regarding collateralization. And the bankers still think that they're going to get paid one way or the other. And it's gone beyond that now. And that's why the financial structure in Europe is going to come down. It can't help but do anything but that. And if the bankers think, and those around them, and the politicians and the bureaucrats, if they think that they're going to get away with this, they're living in cloud cuckoo land. Because there's too many people who know now what they're doing.
Well, I think the other thing is the American people really don't understand that everything has changed. America was once fabulously wealthy. We had tremendous reserves, you know, positive trade. Oh, we had some national debt, but it was never oppressive. Today, of course, our debt exceeds our GDP. Today, of course, the World Bank came out with a report over the weekend pointing out that the reserves per capita, we have in America about $1,500 gold currency in reserves per American citizen. China has about $2,300 for every one of their 1.3 billion people. You get over to, say, Hong Kong, Singapore, they've got $36,000 to $38,000 for every reserves per individual. I mean, we're down at the lowest in the entire civilized world of all the first world nations. We only have $1,500 certainly of reserves for every individual. Why? Because, of course, we're spending our seed corn. We 43 cents of every dollar the American government spends has to be borrowed. How long can you keep doing that? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question. Right now we have Joe calling from New Jersey. Joe, do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. And how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
That's good to hear. Okay, Mr. Chapman, I got a question for you. I had been reading something from written by this doctor, and he was talking about the deflationary exchange and how that might unfold.
Hold that thought for just a minute. Joe will be right back.
Okay.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
He says, well, suddenly we get into this inflationary spiral and suddenly money loses its value, and he's got a loan for $15,000. Oh, well, suddenly the money's only going to be worth about $5,000. Can he get by with just paying off $5,000? And Bob says, we don't know. I mean, if we were using the same medium of exchange, he could do it, but we don't know. Government can do whatever it wants to. And remember, government is owned by the major banks. I mean, who do you think put Barack Obama into power? Where did he raise the $600 million he had to run with it? Was it how much did everybody in the listening audience contribute to Barack Obama? It didn't come from him. It came from the major banks. I mean, who did Barack Obama pick to succeed? Rahm Emanuel is the chief of staff when Rahm went off to run for the mayor of Chicago. Why, Barack Obama picked as his new chief of staff a man named William Daley. He came from J.P. Morgan Chase. In fact, so many of the key positions in the Obama administration came from Goldman Sachs. That basically why they refer to it now as Goldman Sachs, but it's government Sachs. The major banks control the government. Of course, they go right along with the Council on Foreign Relations Trial After Commission. There's a little cabal of about 78 people in the North American chapter. They own our government. Barry Goldwater, in his book, With No Apologies, said on page 280, and you ought to read it, on page 280, he said the purpose of the Trial After Commission is to seize the gain the financial and commercial control of the world by first seizing control of the government of the United States. That's page 280. You can get the books through Radio Liberty, used, admittedly. But you need to read it. You need to understand that they have control of the government. Doesn't matter if Republicans or Democrats there. It's all a facade. They control the media. They control your reality. And they control what's going on. So, Bob, go ahead. Joe wanted to know, and of course, Bob had answered the question. I mean, will I be able to pay off with less money back? And Bob said, we're going to have to wait till it happens, because, of course, the government can do whatever it wants to. Go ahead, Bob.
Sure, but if in fact they reduce people's financial wealth by reduce it by two-thirds, wouldn't there be a public uproar, and consequently would the government most likely placate those people by offering them some kind of a deal to where that one-third now that they have, well, some of their debts would maybe be forgiven?
Well, I wouldn't hold out hope for that, because part of what they're doing here is a planned destruction of the world economy, and so I don't think you're going to see that happen.
And Joe, what they really want to do is wipe out the middle class. They want a two-class society, the very rich and the very poor. And that's what it's really all about. I mean, they don't care how you feel. Oh, or maybe you'll vote for the Republicans next time. Well, because the Republicans are going to do the same thing. Well, then you vote for the Democrats. And the Democrats are going to do the same thing. We got a two-party system, both political parties controlled by the same people. Would you agree with that, Bob?
Absolutely. And
yeah, but you know, most of the people don't even understand that. They think there's a difference, and you know, I'm a little frustrated with the people that I know. When I talk to them, I says, "Don't you get it?" I says, "It's both. It's two different sides to the same coin."
But,
and
Joe,
they just don't get it.
Joe, you get them to listen to our program, but they'll start out.
I try, Dr. Stan.
They just keep trying. But remember, it's not your job to make them listen. If God wants them to listen, they'll listen. And if
yeah,
they listen, maybe they'll be able to survive the coming period of chaos and crisis. Bob, what would your response be to Joe?
Well, I think the natural next step is to go higher into inflation until you have about 50% inflation, which is hyperinflation, when money loses its value very quickly because of the printing mechanism that creates this money. And then what happens, if you look at history, the economies collapse, and then you have the purge, which I've been talking about. That happens in the final stages, and most people lose everything. In the 1930s, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 90%. That's a good example of what people are facing. Today we're looking at real estate in many places is down approximately 60%, 70% in some places, and it's going lower. And so where is it, real estate going to end up from the high? Well, we really don't know, but it could be an average of 60% countrywide, so to speak. And maybe when things dry up because the lenders are overwhelmed with this inventory of unsold foreclosed homes, which officially is 3.8 million, and if you add in the shadow inventory the banks won't talk about, then you're talking perhaps about 6.8 million. And if you can extend out all the bad loans that are made by Fannie, Freddie, Ginny, and FHA over the last three and a half years, then what you're looking at is maybe 8 to 11.5 billion homes. So that gives you an idea of where real estate is headed. And anybody who gets involved in real estate today has got to be a loser. And so what's left? The only thing that you can go into is gold and silver, coin, bullion, and shares. It's the only place that you can protect yourself.
Well, yes, and here's my other point. Either way, all right, so if you don't get that benefit of where they reduce your financial assets to two-thirds and you wind up with a new currency that's only one-third of your three-thirds, however, if you are in debt for $15,000, then there is an inflation, so you're actually better off being in debt because provided you have a cash flow, then you'll be able to pay off that debt with depreciated money. So you'd be better off inflated money, which wouldn't be as worth as much as when you first borrowed that money. So you'd be in better shape that way too, then.
Maybe. Maybe. You know, the rules change all the time to suit these people. So under normal circumstances, you'd be right. But what is normal? Everything is so distorted today, we don't know what normal is anymore.
Joe, I think what Bob is saying, we're just going to have to wait and see. Anyway, God bless you. And it's going to be a fascinating period this next
The reason I bring this up is because I was able to borrow $10,000 at 2% interest, and I bought silver with that. And I figure if silver does go up, I'm way ahead of the game, and I'm only paying 2% on that $10,000.
How did you get it at 2%?
They sent me through the mail checks, and they says if you apply before November 30th, which is this month we're in, November, you can borrow up to $5,000 at 2%. I said, shucks, I'll grab this. So I borrowed one $5,000 chunk. I bought silver with it. I got another offer with these checks coming in the mail from my bank for another offer for $5,000 at 2%. So I borrowed 10 grand at 2%, and I got until, let's see, 2013.
I think you're going to end up a very rich man. God bless. Thanks very much, Joe.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Dr.
Okay, fine. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And it sounds like a pretty good deal, don't you think, Bob?
Well, I think so. And they don't realize that people are doing that to go out and buy gold and silver.
Right.
But they are. They would like to see them put the money elsewhere. And that is not happening to a great extent. And I don't think they know what to do about it. One of the things I noticed in a report I was writing about today is that the what is primarily keeping small business and medium-sized business from being successful is the lack of lendable funds to these entities. And I've talked about this many times before. Lending has been cut down something on the order of about 30-35% over the last several years. And the banks heretofore are generally reticent to lend. Now, those same companies that would like to borrow that money, they create 70% of the jobs. So the banks, by not lending, guarantee that we will have perpetual unemployment. And the less that they lend, the higher the unemployment will go to some certain point. And so that's what's happening to the banking industry and the service and manufacturing companies who need money to expand. And as you've seen over the last several years, they have refused to be a lender. They, what you might call, are hoarding their money, incumbent upon problems coming in the future so that they have cash so that they can weather that financial storm. And so this is what's been going on. The first QE was about bailing out the financial institutions. The second was about bailing out the United States government. Now what they're going to do is they're going to give the banks more liquidity in QE3, and I think that's coming very shortly, maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And what they're going to do is purchase bad debt from banks, most of which would be mortgages inside bonds. And they're going to take that money, and they're going to buy treasuries in the mid-note range, which is around 7% yield, or 7-year paper, I should say, not 7% yield. And they will also take part of it and speculate with it to keep the stock market up. And that's where they're headed with QE3, which is about to come.
Well, Bob, before we go on, I want to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world, published by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 35 or 40 pages each time, and then we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. Everything that you need to know each week is in that publication. And you can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com. Forecaster.com. Or if you would like to ask a question, we answer everyone, or get a copy of either report, or get a copy of our most recent recommendations on gold and silver shares, then you can email us, and that address is Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com.
That's Int for Master.
Bob at intforecaster.com. And for those of you who want to call toll-free to get a free introductory copy, that number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Okay, and I recommend it. Certainly, it's fascinating. I look forward to coming twice a week. Well, let's go to Joe, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Joe. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Hi, guys. I'll take the answer off the air. I've got a question for Bob. Could you explain in some detail what could possibly stop the hardcore criminals who control our money system from raising margin on gold and silver? For that seems to be the essence of controlling the price. And I'll take the answer off the air. Thanks.
All right. So do we know that when the price was rising recently, why they simply raised the margin and they dropped the price? Because a lot of people are in the market speculating and a lot of people lost their shirts. They can, when you're in the commodity or options market, they can change the rules anytime they want to. The way the game is played is that you lose, we win. It doesn't matter. Or we win and you lose. But that's the way the game is played. So is there anything to keep them from raising the margin requirements on gold and silver again to manipulate the price?
No, there's nothing. But there's a law of diminishing returns. And in the case of gold and silver in the futures market, they wiped out all the small and a lot of the medium-sized players who are not in the market presently. It's really a physical market. And that's what they've created in the longer there is a physical market, the more trouble they'll be in. And the reason why is that there's only so much physical gold and silver available. And if you cannot get more, then that causes a problem of delivery. And I won't go into the details of how that happens and the ramifications thereof. But what it does is it robs the exchanges such as COMEX and CME, which owns COMEX, and it robs them of a clientele that doesn't buy anymore or sell anymore. So eventually they're cutting their own throats because it becomes an almost full physical market. And that's what you have with gold and silver right now. And if you notice, the open contracts on gold, as an example, are about 463,000 contracts. At these levels, what would be normal? Now, 600 to 650,000. On silver, the open interest is about 110,000. Where should it be? About 135,000. So you can see they've driven people away from the market. And when they cause these corrections, as the corrections come down and people get out, they might be winners or losers. It's irrelevant. But when it comes down and they get out, there's nobody to sell on the way back up because they're all gone. And that's why you see these volatile corrections which are caused by government through manipulation.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Go right ahead, Bob.
And then, on the other side of that, you don't have any resistance.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products, or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
To get a reaction from the people have been restrained. They've been demonstrating, but of course they have remained restrained. But how long will this continue when the government is employed hardline provocateurs committing acts of violence against the demonstrators? Would that be a fair appraisal, Bob?
Right, but there's no telling how long these demonstrations will go on worldwide. But once one breaks, others will break behind it. And this time, I think a great many of the people involved know what the problems are. And they're going to act probably more intelligently than any demonstrations or riots in the past. And sooner or later, government will go off the deep end and cause violence, especially using law enforcement. And all I can tell them is that you don't want to be involved in this. It's a battle you cannot win.
Amen to that.
Well, and the government does not care how many law enforcement people get killed. They don't care one bit. And once the public loses it, there's going to be no stopping it. And the military is not going to step in on the side of the government. They're just simply not. I've talked to too many of them. And I know that's the way they feel. They want to be with the people because they despise their government.
And I think it's really interesting that Ron Paul has more support from the military than all of the other candidates put together, because he's against these wars and all the other Republican candidates, and Obama, of course, the Democrat candidates are all in favor of the wars, and the military realize that they're being used as cannon fodder for political purposes. Bob, thank you very much. We'll look forward to talking to you next Monday at the same time.
I'll see you then, and thank you all for listening.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Bob Chapman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in for some very difficult financial times. What they've done is they put a Band-Aid on the situation over in Europe. Nothing has changed. All of this hype that they're giving you that, oh, they have a solution. They don't have a solution at all. The banks haven't agreed. The Greek government hasn't agreed. The Greek people haven't agreed. And, of course, what about our banks that writ the derivative contracts? We're talking about trillions of dollars that could be lost from our banking system that will be put off on the American people. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have trillions of dollars. We already have a debt of over $14 trillion. There's only $60 trillion in it. That's the GDP of the entire world. And we're talking about recently transferring to the FDIC responsibility for $15.4 trillion in derivatives. We're in real trouble. You must understand that. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talks on the dark secret and the forbidden secret. Of course, there's so much that you need to get. If you have never, of course, read Constance Cumby's wonderful book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, we do have secondhand copies. Heard her CDs on four CD sets, The Aquarian Conspiracy, or heard her talk on the emergence of the new world leader. Everything is on schedule. If you've never read Barry Goldwater's book, we have it, where he talks about how the purpose of the Trilateral Commission is to seize control of the government of the United States. That's page 280. Admittedly used copies, but vitally important. If you've never read David Rockefeller's own words about how he is part of a secret cabal, that, of course, is conspiring with others throughout the world to bring about a new international order, a new, certainly, a global political and economic structure. And he says that that's the charge against me. I'm guilty and I'm proud of it. That's page 405. That's David Rockefeller Memoirs on number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. It's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you listen to. They're my views. And let me just ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. We live in what used to be a Christian nation, but you don't dare discuss Jesus Christ or God in our schools today. But, of course, on Halloween, you can have all sorts of Halloween parties and Halloween, dressing up and Halloween recognition and certainly. But this is the devil's, Satan's holiday. Why is it all right to celebrate the devil's birthday, but not, of course, either the birth or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Well, because basically the satanic influences are simply reigning supreme in America today. That's why, of course, it's illegal to talk about God or prayer and the Ten Commandments in our schools. But it's all right to celebrate Halloween. Our guest this evening now is, of course, Lynn Marzulli. He's talking about one of our favorite guests. Lynn is the ordained minister who gave up a good-paying position because he wanted to be full-time and simply trying to educate the American people. I think that God has called him for this time in history. He writes profusely. We have carry his books, The Alien Intervention, Alien Interviews, the Nephilim Trilogy of Politics, Prophecy, the Supernatural. We carry his DVDs, Watchers 1, Watchers 2. And what's the name of that latest book, Lynn?
It's called The Cosmic Chess Match, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. So we're looking forward to talking about that this evening. Do you want to talk about that this evening?
Wherever you want to go is fine, but we certainly can talk about the Cosmic Chess Match.
Would you have any thoughts at all about the Occupy Wall Street movement?
Well, you know, it's interesting. What troubles me is it's like it's sort of in the 60s. It makes me wonder who's funding it. We know that Soros has poured money into it. There's obviously great despair amongst many people in this country. Certainly we look at the youth and just the citizenry, not only in the Arab street all throughout the Middle East, but in places like Greece and Spain and Portugal, the UK. There's this spreading uneasiness where people are beginning to realize that the jig is up, that the nations that they are in are trillions of dollars in debt, and there doesn't seem to be a way out. Many young people, which is what, you know, we get into this whole Occupy Wall Street, look at what has gone on in this country. There are several videos out, one of them in particular that I would certainly recommend, deals with Wall Street and talks about how much of this was, of course, manipulated. And that many people, for instance, the guy, the president, I forget the gentleman's name, of Countrywide wound up, I think, with like a $40 million golden parachute. And that we actually, our mortgage was with Countrywide. And B of A took over the whole thing. But the bottom line is this guy walks away with a $40 or $60 million golden parachute, and he ran his company into the ground, made a lot of bad loans and whatever, in my opinion. At least that's how the story goes. So all that, To say this, that one thing compounds another, and a lot of people are looking at where we are and saying, there doesn't seem to be a way out. The jig is up, the banking industry, Wall Street, you know, greed is good, that whole thing. But there's also an element in it which is, you know, a sort of a sense of entitlement, like I deserve this or I should be getting this. And I'm all for free markets, and in some ways I'm a capitalist in the sense that I certainly don't agree with communism. You know, I think a free market enterprise, free market capitalism is the way to go. But on the other hand, when a person becomes so greedy and never gives back into the system, then that becomes, the pendulum swings the other way.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Go ahead, and the thing is that can we solve that with legislation? Certainly, when you allow people to take some $40 million out of a bank as they did with Countrywide after they've run it in the ground, why, I think this guy ought to go to prison. Basically, of course, they basically forced, I think it was Bank of America to take that over, and basically then we're on the hook for that. This man should be in prison, not retired. But you see, they're not doing that because I believe this is all contrived. I think they know exactly what they're doing, and they're not holding anybody responsible. At one time, if a banker certainly ran his bank into the ground and people did not get their money out, they went to prison. Why don't we do that today? Go right ahead.
Well, it's interesting. We talked to Chuck Missler a while back for the Watchers DVD that I know that you carry, but, I mean, this is not a shameless plug because I'm going somewhere with this. Missler told us that it's a managed agenda, and I know you and I both feel exactly the same way. Everything that we're looking at is a managed agenda. The elites have control. There are secret echelons in our government, secret societies. All we need to do is look at what happens every year at up in Northern California, and it's at Bohemian Grove to see that something is going on. There's a group of, look, we've got quotes from former presidents and everything else. I believe Kennedy, 2 weeks before he was assassinated or shortly before that, talks about the secret society, how they're abhorrent, how they're against everything that America stands for. What is he pointing to? Why is he saying that? And, of course, 2 or 3 weeks later, he's dead in Dallas. Kennedy was trying to dismantle the Federal Reserve, get us out of Vietnam, splinter the CIA in 1,000 pieces. We know this. I mean, this is all documented stuff. And I believe it was a as Eisenhower tells us, a military-industrial complex and elements in that which basically brought him down. And my opinion, and people may disagree, we have not had a real president since Kennedy. Anybody who is elected, and here's just a perfect example. People go, well, you know, L.A. Marzulli, where's your proof? Well, remember what Obama was saying before he got elected president? You know, we're going to bring the boys home from Afghanistan. We're going to close Guantanamo. Last time I checked, Afghanistan, just this week, 13 people were killed in a suicide bomb. We have a friend over there, his son, is serving in Afghanistan, and this guy's just a pawn in the game. He believes in this country, and he believes he's doing the right thing. But that war has raged on longer, twice as long as World War II, go figure. And on it goes, and with no end in sight. Meanwhile, every year there's a $1 trillion opium harvest. Who profits from that?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Man, this is Dr. Stan and Cindy Dennison talking about the phony Afghan war. We've got this war going on over there. We've been fighting it for 10 years. All 50 members of Al-Qaeda were fighting. Oh, my goodness, we've got to have 500,000 people there along with that. And that includes, of course, the 300,000 Afghan troops. But why do we need 90,000 American troops, 46,000 NATO troops, 100,000 contractors, and 300,000 Afghan troops to fight 50 members of Al-Qaeda? And you're not supposed to ask that question. You're supposed to believe what Barack Obama says, that we're over there protecting America from the terrorists who threaten us, and those 50 members of Al-Qaeda threaten America, and that's why we've got to be over there fighting, and it's his job to protect us. That's why our troops are there. And who would stand up and say, but Mr. President, why do you need 550,000 people to fight 50 members of Al-Qaeda? If you think that there's more members of Al-Qaeda over there, if you have a computer, just type in Leon Panetta, 50 members, Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, or General James Jones, 50 members, Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, or Steve Croft, 50 members, Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, and you'll find out that what I'm telling is the truth. So we got 50 members of Al-Qaeda. Nobody's pointing that out. We've got 550,000 troops there. And as a Marine general said, we're going to be here for a long time. Go right ahead.
And what's alarming is, in conjunction with this, ongoing military presence, I watched Judge Andrew Napolitano talk about this several weeks ago. There are 900 military bases throughout the world, 900 U.S. military bases throughout the world. I mean, if Eisenhower is warning us about an military-industrial complex, we are here. 900 bases throughout the world. What are we looking at here? Why do we need to do that? And, of course, that's why Ron Paul never gets any media. No one ever talks about him. It's all Cain, 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 and, you know, whoever, Romney, Romney, Romney. Meanwhile, this week, Paul won two straw polls. Paul would definitely get us out of all these places, and I agree. I mean, why should we become the world's policeman? Why do we need to do what we are doing on an ongoing basis with 900 military bases worldwide? But what I find alarming, Dr. Stan, and this is why, in my opinion, it's so obvious that Obama is controlled, just like Bush was before him and Clinton before him, and on it goes, you know, back and back and back. But all of a sudden he announces out of the blue, guess what, we're going to bring our boys home from Iraq before Christmas. What? And, of course, I'm not a military guy, but I follow this stuff on a daily basis, and the Middle East right now is absolutely imploding. And this would be, in my opinion, because we have a military presence there and because we are allied with Israel, I would at least keep some of that just strictly as a deterrent to the Arabs and to the Muslims who want Israel destroyed, so they wouldn't attack Israel. But of course, with our presence gone from the Middle East, there are I think it's 30,000 Iranian troops embedded within Iraq already that are loyal to Iran. The present government there, the Maliki government, is loyal to Iran. He's Shia. And so it's like when we pull out of Iraq, it sets up a total vacuum. Now Israel is literally surrounded by 28 hostile nations to it, with the exception of Jordan. I think a lot of Jordan is just lip service, but we'll see where it goes. You know, meanwhile, Bashar al-Assad, we talked about this last time I was on the show, Bashar al-Assad in Syria, the president of Syria, has killed upwards of 3,000 people. I would say that's a conservative estimate. I put the number close to 6,000, perhaps even more. You know, numbers like that are often, you know, the body counts don't come in until years later. Look what Saddam Hussein did. And those mass graves were real. I mean, Saddam was a monster. I'm not saying he wasn't. Does that justify us going in? That's a whole other story into Iraq. But what I find interesting is Assad has saber-rattled in just fairly recently that if any type of military action is taken against Syria, they will launch rockets where? Against Tel Aviv. So once again, the Jews are the focal point. Israel is the focal point of the Arab world, just like after Hosni Mubarak was toppled in Egypt. And they met in Tahrir Square. And what were they saying? To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. So rather than work on infrastructure, better irrigation practices, better education, hospitals for their people, equal rights for women, no. We're going to go to Sharia law, where women are second-class citizens, and anybody who's not a Muslim will become a dhimmi status, where you'll pay the jizya, which is a special tax. And on it goes. This is what's going to happen in places like Libya and Bahrain, Yemen, Egypt, and Tunisia has already voted, and it will become Sharia law. Just like I call it, you know, people talk about the Arab Spring's all about democracy. No, it's not. There's no springboard to democracy there. There is no springboard to democracy, to the democratic process in Muslim countries. All they know is Sharia. Yeah, that's what they've had for 1,300 years. That's what they will fall back on. We will see it all throughout the Muslim world.
In fact, when Tunisia had their vote, who won the vote? It really hasn't been brought up, but the so-called moderate Islamists. There's no such thing, ladies and gentlemen, as moderate Islamists. Basically, of course, when you're Islamic, and basically they're going to bring the country under Sharia law. Now, there were two secular, parties there that got some of the votes. But certainly the majority of the votes went to the radical Islamic movement, and they'll bring that country under the rule of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's one man, one vote, one time. And that's exactly why American intelligence toppled that country. We did the same thing in Egypt. We bought off the military so that they would not resist the rioters. And we're bringing country after country after country. This is what we did in Libya. Bring all these countries under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a radical Islamic movement we established back in 1928. We have a wonderful book called The Devil's Game, going into how British intelligence, MI6, which works, of course, very closely with American intelligence, how MI6 began funding of the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928, and then was the major force behind it until after the Second World War, when the CIA took over funding the Muslim Brotherhood. But we can't let the American people know what the CIA is doing. After all, that's classified, and we wouldn't want our enemies to find out, would we? Go right ahead.
And what's interesting about this is it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, the talking heads on all the major news networks talks about the Arab Spring and the democratic process and it's going to be a better world. And then, you know, Tunisia, which is the first country where the so-called Arab Spring started months ago, held their elections, as you just said, and they've elected a so-called moderate Islamic guy. And like you said, in my opinion, I agree with you, Dr. Stan, that it's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as a moderate Muslim, not that I've yet found. And we will see what happens to the minorities in these places, Jews and Christians. We see what's happening in Egypt. At the moment, Mubarak, the strongman, is gone. Islam and the radical elements in Islam
What were they doing? I mean, how many Christians were slaughtered? How many Christian churches were burned? You don't hear a peep about that in the mainstream media. They don't want to talk about that. All eyes are on Jerusalem. All eyes are on Israel. When the dust clears, just like that fiery imam in Tahrir Square in Egypt talks, you know, instead of talking about infrastructure, a better way of creating an infrastructure and a system and an educational system and hospitals for the Egyptian people. No, to Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. And all they think about, and I'm broad brushing here, you know, I'm painting with a very large brush, but not all Muslims think this way, but many of them do. That somehow if we can just wipe out Israel, if we can just get rid of all the Jews, Allah will bless us and everything will be okay. If we can just get rid of the Jews out of Israel, everything will be okay. And what really irks me about this is that the modern nations of Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Palestine, Yemen, and other nations, which are all part of the Ottoman Empire and ruled under the Ottoman Empire, those nations were created in modern times after World War I. Well, you don't hear the Syrians and Iraq and Lebanon and other and Jordan, you know, saying, well, we don't like the deal. Well, you know, you were all under Ottoman rule for 450 years, and after they lost World War II, the Brits and the French created these countries, and they created a homeland for the Jews at the same time with the Balfour Declaration. Why is it that somehow Syria is legitimate, but somehow Israel isn't? And, of course, when we really go back and we look at what Israel was, and I've got pictures, and I present these pictures when I'm out speaking and lecturing and at conferences and whatever, especially in the Cosmic Chess Match, you know, getting into that a little bit, the idea that one of the moves of the fallen one, Satan, the dragon, Lucifer, during World War II was, of course, the Holocaust. If he could wipe every Jew off the planet, then prophecy would not exist. The prophecy specifically of Ezekiel 37 would never come to pass, which talks about the gathering of the Jews in the latter times and reforming them in the nation of Israel, which is exactly what we see happen after World War II. The birth pangs, or the ashes of the Holocaust, I should say, become the birth pangs of the nation of Israel. And so the move is, by the following, is to destroy the Jews. The counter move is the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37 and the prophecy clock that many of us look at today. It all hinges around Israel, in my opinion. And the moves that we will see, the latter moves, even though it's been checkmate 2,000 years ago at the cross, the fallen one is so demented, so filled with his own hubris that he thinks that somehow he can change things. He can change his fate. Of course, we know from prophecy that at some point the third temple will be rebuilt and the Antichrist will seat himself in the temple to be worshipped as God. All these things will happen, and why many, you know, prophecy guys, and we all just, some people disagree and the debates get heated. Go back 100 years ago. And knowing prophecy like I know it, I would have been saying, hey, at some point Israel's going to be gathered from the four corners of a nation.
Hold that
thought.
Four corners
of the world and reestablished. I would have been scoffed at.
Hold that thought, because basically, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like the Israeli government, it's important. I think there's a lot of corrupt people there. But God prophesied it would happen, and it did happen. Go right ahead, Lynn.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Remember, it is the only nation that's ever reconstituted himself. Did the Hittites, certainly, have they ever reconstituted themselves a nation? How about the Edomites? Is the Edomites ever, or the Philistines, have they ever reconstituted themselves as a nation? No, they never have. But the Jews were dispersed. And as prophesied, they've returned to the Holy Land. And we give all sorts of reasons it's happened. But, of course, one reason, which I happen to adhere to, and that is because God said it was going to happen in the Holy Scriptures, and it has. Pick up the story there.
Well, it's interesting that it's right there in black and white. We can pick it up. And, you know, a boy of 13 years old or a girl of 13 years old, the age of reason, sort of, can read those passages, and why they might not understand all of it, they can glean the basic story from the passages of Ezekiel 38-39. There's a list of nations which go up against the land of unwalled villages in the latter days. It says very specifically latter days. And what's interesting is Israel is a land of unwalled villages. And some people take it out of context and talk about the fence that keeps the Palestinians out. That's a fence. It's not there's no walled city anymore. All that was completely gone with the advent of the invention of the airplane. Everything, that whole mode of warfare was completely rendered moot and useless with the invention of the airplane. And so when Ezekiel is writing a land of unwalled villages 2,600 years ago, this is absolutely preposterous. It is. It's preposterous. But he's seeing through time. He's as Gary Stierman in his book, Time Travelers of the Bible. He's talking about Ezekiel as a time traveler, and he is. He's traveling through time to the future where he sees a land of unwalled villages. How can that possibly be? And yet he does, because the Most High God is showing him all these events that will happen, and he writes them down in this book. And the Most High God, Elohim, Yahweh, tells us that I am God, I alone am He, that call out the end before the beginning and the beginning before the end. There's no other entity in this entire universe that can do that. He's the only one that has that type of space-time perspective that he has, and able to call out in advance things that will happen thousands of years ago, you know, before they happen. He calls them out, and he does so with great specificity, unlike Nostradamus or Rick or Casey. I was on Coast to Coast last night, Dr. Stan, again, and, you know, one of the things I just nailed down and made it real clear. Why is it all the talk about 2012 and all this other nonsense, when real prophecy is happening right in front of our eyes in the Middle East? Why is it that we're distracted with common element? And we should keep eyes, you know, on things coming in. But 2012 is a no-show, in my opinion. I mean, I'm a year away from the date. And in my opinion, just like I said about common element, why it's there, and yeah, I see it, and there's going to be signs in the heavens. I get that. We're not in the tribulation. It's not Wormwood. And this, I'm looking at this stuff, but it's like the place to watch is the Middle East. And I made it real clear, why should we trust these people who engaged in human sacrifice, ritualistic blood sacrifice? That's what the Mayan engaged in. So the information that's coming from them, consider the source, and it tells everything. Why should I look into or believe anything that comes from a society that ritualistically slaughtered 70,000 human beings? I mean, give me a break. And yet all that, you never hear one word about that at all when it comes to the Mayan calendar in 2012. You hear about ascension and we're going, you know, the ancient ones are coming back and all this other stuff. Excuse me, you've just westernized this and sanitized this, you know, to fit your paradigm and your agenda. But the Empress got no clothes on here. These guys were bloodthirsty. They were Luciferians. They practiced the same human sacrifice ritualistically that probably went on in Babel and certainly went on in the time of Genesis 6 and also with Sodom and Gomorrah and also later on when Israel goes into the Promised Land. It's the same thing. The giants, you know, that they devour. We were like grasshoppers. It's the same nonsense that's going on. All through the Book of Enoch talks about the cannibalism and the drinking of blood. It's all the same thing. It all goes back to the same source, and it's the fallen angels, it's the fallen one, the Luciferians, the Satan, the dragon, whatever name you want to give the guy, that's, and his host, that's where it all goes back to.
I'm so glad you're getting on to George Norrie, because, you know, I think it's so important that we get a Christian voice there. A lot of people listen to George Norrie, and Sydney, how did he accept what you're talking about, coming from a Christian point of view?
Well, it was interesting. I was actually on with John Wells.
I see.
Who was on. I was on last night, and Wells is the host on the weekends, I guess.
Nice.
And it's my first time with him. I've been with Norrie, I don't know, about 9 or 10 times. But first time with Wells, and we really hit it off. It was a 3-hour romp, and we covered a lot of topics. And
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Lynn Marzulli. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, is Lynn Marzulli. We're talking about, well, Sydney, there are going to be some dramatic changes in the coming year, and I believe there are going to be dramatic changes. That doesn't mean the world is going to end next year at all. I don't think it's going to end. I don't think that the Lord is coming next year.
No.
But I do believe there are going to be some serious economic problems, but they're growing this year. They think they're going to get worse next year. But the one thing that is really very, very interesting, if you're reading the occult literature today, and of course I had a wonderful interview with Constance Gumby, if you haven't talked to her or heard her material, and she says reading certainly the things that are being put out by the occultists, they think that, of course, 2012 is a very important year now because they thought this whole thing was going to come down. You know, certainly in the early 1980s, too, and they called it wrong at that time. They were sure that the Maitreya was going to be brought back, and they were wrong. But they've targeted next year. They think next year's well, this will be the real time. We don't know what's going to happen. We do know that they're very powerful. They've got a lot of connections. But in the final analysis, it's not their decision. It's God's decision. So it's going to be fascinating as this whole thing begins to unwind. Go ahead.
You know, it certainly will be. I honestly believe that we're going to see something in the Middle East And I've been saying this, and I realize I'm a broken record sometimes. And I said it in 2007, and here we are 4 years later, and it still has not erupted yet. It goes at some point. It reaches a tipping point. At just some point, the thing is going to spill over. It's going to erupt. There is going to be war. It's just a question of, you know, what is the flashpoint, like Duke Ferdinand in World War I? What is the flashpoint which kicks everything off? And, of course, we don't know what that is because it hasn't happened yet. But I truly believe, Dr. Stan, that when that happens, that's a game changer. That may actually, tip the scales. Here's just some just interesting facts that, and because of what I do and because of...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lynn's saying that he thinks that there are going to be certainly a major conflict in the Middle East. He doesn't know when it's coming. He's been talking about it for 4 years, but he thinks it's coming, and I do too. Who are the combatants going to be? I don't know. Will it involve Iran and Israel? I don't know. Basically, somebody knows the plans are being made. They're actually what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness has their plans. We do know one thing, and that is they're toppling the existing governments over there. They've toppled Tunisia, Egypt, Libya. They're in the process of toppling Syria, and I'm sure they'll succeed. They've toppled the Turkish government. They've moved them from being a secular military government into being a radical Islamic movement. Of course, they call it moderate. They've done the same thing in Lebanon. Country after country certainly is unstable. Yemen, Bahrain. I would think it's only a matter of time before they will certainly topple. Saudi Arabia, certainly where... there's tremendous unrest in Pakistan. There's only superficial stability in Afghanistan. In fact, the head of Afghanistan has recently said that there's a conflict between Pakistan and the United States, that the Afghanistan will side with Pakistan, even though we have almost 500,000 troops in Afghanistan under the control of an American general. Why, of course, Afghanistan's going to side with Pakistan against us. Iraq, of course, is a basket case, and suddenly survives only because of constant infusions of money. We have destroyed the infrastructure of this once prosperous first world nation. And in Iraq, which, of course, before we went in, had regular electricity and water and sewage and jobs and prosperity. Now, if they get electricity a couple of hours a day, if they get water a few hours a day, if they get a sewage picked up a couple of once a week, they think that this is really fortunate. We have destroyed the infrastructure of that nation intentionally and purposely and maliciously. Basically, when the war was over, everything was in place. It was a short war, and then we sent Paul Bremer over there disband the army, to disband the police force, to disband the civil service, to disband the educational system, to turn off the electricity. Certainly there was nobody there to run electricity. They knew what they were doing. We closed down the industries, the government run industries, so people wouldn't have any jobs to take, so they'd be forced to join the rebels to fight the Americans, so we could have a battle over there. And now, of course, that country... Whether you like Saddam Hussein or not, he was a wicked and evil people. But remember, he was installed by the American government in 1979, financed by the American government. We gave him the chemical weapons that he used to kill 100,000 Kurds. We allowed him to use his helicopter gunships, to slaughter 50,000 Shia Muslims. After the first Gulf War, after President Bush told the people to rise up, we'd come to their aid. And then he went back on his word. The Iraqi people's mistake was they believed the President of the United States. Because President Bush said, rise up against Saddam, we'll come to your aid. And we did come to the raid. We gave permission, to Saddam Hussein permission, to use his helicopter gunships to kill 50,000 Shia Muslims in the southern part of Iraq, and nobody ever talks about that. Well, before we go on, Len, I want you to go ahead and get out your telephone number, your website, tell people how to get in touch with your ministry.
Well, as always, Dr. Stan, thanks so much for having me on the show. But the website is lamarzulli.net, L-A-Marzulli, M-A-R-Z-U-L-L-I, lamarzulli.net, and you can apprise yourself of the Launcher's DVDs or the new book, which is called The Cosmic Chess Match, which we've, you know, sort of been talking a little bit about tonight, but it's brand new and it's out. It's a little over 300 pages, and it just discusses this ongoing match between unequally yoked players, the Most High God, and, of course, the adversary. And it begins in Genesis at the beginning and moves on from there. And it's not an exhaustive overview of Scripture. That would take a book thousands and thousands of pages. But it establishes the fact that this move-counter-move scenario between the Most High God and the Fallen One has continued through millennia. And it, even though Checkmate was at the cross, the Fallen One and his hubris and his demented personage has continued this match, wanting a redo, wanting a rematch, wanting a do-over, and still trying to poke and somehow hold on to his power base. And, of course, at the Battle of Armageddon, when the rider on the white horse comes, which is, of course, Yeshua, Jesus, the enemy will be destroyed by the armies of heaven and the breath of Jesus' mouth. So, and I believe that literal, too, by the way. I don't think that's poetic. When the Lord speaks, when he speaks like that, it will destroy that army. that whatever, however it works, and I have no idea. I don't pretend to know. And that's the same force that created the entire universe that we're in right now. That same force will be unleashed at the Battle of Armageddon. And the Fallen One knows that. The Fallen One knows that. So we're in a cosmic chess match, and that's the brand new book. We're working on Watchers 3, which should be out sometime at Thanksgiving. I blog 6 days a week. LAMarzulli.wordpress.com, and that's pretty much what I do, Dr. Stan, and appear on radio shows like yours, which I absolutely love, and thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Cosmic Chess Match. I think it's fascinating, and basically, of course, it's just the history of this spiritual battle, the spiritual struggle that certainly started in the Garden of Eden, or maybe even before that, and persists even to this day.
Well, it's exactly what happens. We don't know, and I love the young earthers, and first of all, I don't believe in evolution, so let's get that out of the way right off the bat. I don't believe in theistic evolution, that God set things in motion and evolution take place. I believe in the literal account of Genesis when he created everything ex nihilo over a period of 7 days, whatever term that was. But I believe that the universe is a lot older than 6,000 years. And I believe that the Fallen One and a third of the heavenly host fell with the Fallen One. And I'm not sure when that happened, but it's far back in the reaches of antiquity. It's not 6,000 years ago. But what we see is the Most High God creates Adam and Eve, sets them in a garden. That's the first move. And the counter move, of course, is what? The fall. Then the counter move to that is the promise of the Messiah. That's exactly what we see. And then so now we know that from the line of the woman, from the seed of the woman, is going to become one that will redeem all mankind. The Fallen One sees that. What is his counter move? He tries to pollute the bloodline. Genesis chapter 6, the fallen angels, the sons of God, cohabit with the daughters of men, creating a Nephilim, and they're on the earth. What's the move to that? Of course, the counter move to that is the flood of Noah, which wipes out all of the Nephilim, and everyone except for eight people is wiped out. The bloodline starts again. Then the Fallen One, once again, his counter move to the flood, Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. He establishes the Babylonian system, Babylonian system, religious system, which frankly is still in place today. Ritualistic blood sacrifice, Nimrod, as Tom Horn talks about, becomes Geborim through ritualistic sex magic. That's how we get there. This whole system is set in place. So what happens? The Most High God countermoves that with what? He confuses his language, and at that time, I believe, breaks apart the continent. I think all the, you know, people go, well, that took millions of years. Baloney. Look at Mount St. Helens. You know, one little volcano changes the entire landscape of a region in what? In a few hours? Come on. You know, and remember, we're talking about the God, the creator of the universe. And it just goes on and on. For instance, Abraham is promised, he's 90 years old when he's told, and Sarah's 90 years old, when they'll have a child. And he does a faceplant. Read the text. He does a faceplant. It's a micro move in the sense that you know, it's happening just to two people, microcosm. But yet it's a macro move in the sense that through the Abrahamic seed, all the nations of earth will be blessed, right? But what that, so there's the move, and we see what the Most High God does, and this is all due respect to Chuck Missler, and this is where it's from. I believe Abraham and Sarai's ages will reverse supernaturally. How, that's why Abraham does the faith plan. He's laughing. How the heck is a 91-year-old man sire a child? He knows his equipment, and it's not working the way it should be. So I believe, with all due respect, and we're all adults, so we can talk about this stuff. But the bottom line is, something happens, and he regresses. I believe they were rejuvenated in some way. But what do we see? We see the whispering, even though it's not, it doesn't say that Sarah was whispered by the fallen one, but it's got the fallen one's fingerprints all over it, because once again, it's usurping the plan of the Most High God. The point I'm trying to make is we see move, counter move, move, counter move, move, counter move, all throughout Scripture. When Yeshua, when Jesus is born, the slaughter of the innocent, what is that about? Satan's raising up his man, his Antichrist of the time, Herod, to do what? To destroy the Messiah. So the move of the Most High God is finally Messiah is born. The fallen one doesn't know it yet. He doesn't know it. He knows it's going to happen, but he's not sure. And then when he finds out, that's when he sends his man Herod, and what does Herod do? Slaughter the two-year-old and under. But the counter move to that is Joseph has a dream and he flees to Egypt. We see this all throughout Scripture. Move, counter move. Out of the birth, out of the ashes of the Holocaust come the birth of Israel. The move of the fallen one is destroy every Jew on the planet via the Holocaust. The move of the Most High God is to gather them on from the ashes of the Holocaust, reestablish them in their ancient homeland, Israel, and nation is born in a day. And once we understand that, Dr. Stan, all of Scripture changes, in my opinion. It becomes alive. We see Scripture now not just through a bunch of quaint little stories. We see that we're involved in a cosmic war, a cosmic chess match, which has been raging in another dimension for millennia. And frankly, is spilling over into this dimension. And, you know, it's about to really, all hell at some point will break loose. And we know this from Revelation. Michael and his angels fight with Satan and his angels. Their rear end skis are booted out of the second heaven. And woe to the inhabitants on earth because the devil, the dragon, Satan, the adversary, has now come down to you. And he knows his time is short. Up till this present moment in time, he's been in another dimension, which is called the second heaven, where the space-time properties that we have and are bound to in this dimension don't apply there. It's just fascinating, and that's some of what the Cosmic Chess Match is about.
Well, I think it's so important for our listeners to understand that there is another dimension. There is a supernatural dimension, and there are beings in the other dimension that can come into this dimension. There are people within our dimension who have tried to get to the other dimension, and so they go back and forth. I don't know whether they've ever succeeded, but I do know that certainly the demonic beings have come into this dimension and have manifested here. And there is a supernatural. There is a power out there that you can tap into. You should never even consider doing it, because of course it will cost you your interior soul. But if you look at these people, so many of them who made fabulous fortunes. I mean, some of the richest men in the world, J.P. Morgan, deeply involved with astrology, Henry Ford, deeply involved in spiritualism and theosophy, Andrew Carnegie, involved in spiritualism, the Rockefellers, certainly people like Lawrence Rockefeller and his endowment for the humanities, financing the writings of Barbara Marx Hubbard, who is a dedicated occultist, and certainly other members of the Rockefeller family, Winthrop had the largest connection of pornography in the world, Sydney, we know the Rothschilds and the Mellons and the Whitneys, and so many of these wealthy people, certainly so many of our people who've made great scientific contributions. Thomas Edison was deeply involved in the occult. He was a follower of Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. People don't understand this sort of thing. Where did Thomas Edison get his inspiration for electricity and all these other things, wonderful things he accomplished? Why, he would go into a deep meditation, and these ideas would come to him. And, of course, there were others who actually worked along these same lines, and they would, of course, go into these trances and meditate, and these ideas would come to them. because I believe they're tapping into the supernatural dimension. But this is so far and distant to what the average person can believe. But when we see all of these amazing things that we have now electronically, but I can't help but wonder how many of these had their origins in the other dimension, just simply transferred to this dimension so they could be used to monitor every human being in the world today. Go right ahead.
Just well put, Dr. Stan. That was a great little monologue there. Just a wealth of information in it. And, you know, you rattled off the names. Just bam, bam, bam. Very, very impressive. And I certainly agree with you. There is an occult supernatural dynamic that permeates all of society and on a global level. We know this because prophecy tells us that the mystery of iniquity, found in 2 Thessalonians, this passage I'm quoting, the mystery of iniquity is working and continues to work, the secret of lawlessness. And we look around on the earth today, and what do we see? Lawlessness everywhere. Everywhere. 1 billion abortions over the planet. The trial in Philadelphia where, and I won't get into the details, but I did read some of the absolute horrific, gory details in this abortion mill where live babies were then put to death in the most heinous of heinous ways, just absolutely horrific ways. And these two women that were working there at the abortion clinic admitted guilt that, yeah, this is what we did. this guy Goslin, man, this guy is another Mengele. He's an absolute monster, an absolute monster. And, you know, how many more abortion clinics like this? This one has been exposed, but I'm sure there are hundreds, if not thousands of them globally, where the same sort of bloodletting and the slaughter of innocents. I mean, what more is innocent than an unborn child or a newborn child? I mean, nothing is more innocent. And yet, this is what we see. So there is the mystery of iniquity, and that is lawlessness, the secret of lawlessness. And to the point where, we have slid so far down this slippery slope where our Congress debates on the legitimacy of partial birth abortion, which is the most diabolical procedure. Mengele and Hitler would have loved it. And here we are in the 21st century thinking how enlightened and how progressive and how sophisticated we are because of all of our modern conveniences, and yet we allow something so sadistic and horrific like this to take place within the shores of our country. I find it just reprehensible, and I'm just appalled by where I live. And like you mentioned in the beginning of the show, here we are, Halloween, Halloween, the Lord of the Dead. It is Satan's day, and that's what it is. The whole thing with costumes and trick-or-treat, it all goes back to the Celts, and the whole idea of bonfires were really called bone fires. And those are the bones of the sacrificed humans or animals that were then collected and made into a bone fire, all to appease and conjure the dark forces. Frankly, all over this country, as we speak tonight, there are covens that are meeting, that are doing what they do. There is animal sacrifice, perhaps even human sacrifice. And the police keep this stuff, and I know this for a fact because I've talked to guys who work with them. They keep this stuff well under the radar from the general public. So the general public never knows what's going on in their city, in their neighborhood. These covens meet. There is ritualistic, satanic human sacrifice and animal sacrifice going on. Watch your kids.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Lynn Marzulli. Well, Lynn, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, as always, it's always a pleasure to be...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, the story of Jesus.